If you remain in me and my words remain in you, you shall ask what you will. You know, and it sure it is yours. You know, God will do anything you ask him for if. And so I think about just a few weeks or actually a few months now, I guess, that we had been asked to come over to Shreveport and preach every night. So at a actually it was a tent revival. And we went over there and we preached every night. And of course, the last night was a Saturday night. And of course, it was almost midnight before we got out of the service over there. So we went and got in the airplane and was coming home. And it's about, I don't know, 45 minutes or hour, whatever it was, from Shreveport to here. And just before we got here, we were over the Metroplex already whenever Dave looked at the computer and he said, you know, Thurman Denton, which is only 8 miles north of where we land at Northwest, he said, it's IFR. I mean, it's really thick fog. I mean, you know, it's like a quarter mile visibility. You know, you can't see nothing and the ceilings are almost on the ground, 100-foot ceiling. That's below minimums. You can't even shoot an approach in that. And so I said, well, okay. So I said, Lord, we need to get back into Northwest, which is only 8 miles south of that. We need to get in there because our car is there, and Northwest doesn't even have an authorized instrument approach. You know, it's just a little private airport, you know, and so pretty nice airport, all right, 3,500-foot runway, but it has nothing but lights. You know, it has no instrument approaches or nothing like that, so you only can go in there with a GPS virtual approach, which those are fantastic, really, but you're not authorized to do that at Northwest, you know, under federal regulations. And so I said, Lord, I need it to be clear so I can see the airport so I can land. And of course, as I'm looking at my screen, which is right in front of me, showing the airport over here, and I'm flying in here so I can make a turn, and I'm just about right here, and I'm in solid fog. I mean, you cannot see nothing. It's just solid fog everywhere. And we're about 1,500 feet, flying about 150 miles an hour. We've slowed down. And I say, Lord, I am just about at the point to turn in for a straight in to the airport, and I need you to clear the sky for me in the name of Jesus, and I want to thank you for doing it. And the minute I said thank you, we flew out into this sky as clear as this is right here. And I looked to my left, and there's the airport. And so I done a left turn, and we just lined right up, and I could see the Vasey lights and everything, and we just lined right up. Dave said, you're right on center line, you're right on course, you're right on the glide slope. Of course, he's looking at all the computers himself. He said, you're right on target, coming right into the end of the runway. Everything's perfect. Of course, I can see it, too. You know, it's perfect. And so I come in, and we get right over the fence at about 120 miles an hour. That's the approach speed on our 421, 120 miles an hour. And just as we come over the end of the fence, the fog, everything, we fly into that fog, and it's everything disappears. But I'm only 50 feet off the ground. A few minutes ago, I could see the runway. I knew it was right there. So I just went ahead, and by faith, I just let her right on down, easy. The wheels touched down right on the center of the runway, and the nose fell down on the... We went down through there, and we stopped, and we taxied off. We had a little trouble finding the taxiways, but we found the taxiways, and we got it back up to the hangar and pulled it in and parked it in the hangar and got out. And got in the car and almost had to get out of the car to find the exit ramps to get from the airport onto the road. It was so thick you couldn't see the road. So we drove home about 15 miles an hour. But yet a few minutes ago I'm flying at 120 miles an hour and landed on an airport. Now, you know, what can we ask God for according to John 15:7? Now, but what is the requirements there? There is a requirement, is there not? Yeah, if you remain in me, and if my words remain in you, now then when I ask the average person, well then quote me your favorite 100 verses. Uh-oh. Oh, my goodness gracious. In fact, I said here while back at a Helicool, I said, you know, I'm going to have somebody go lock the front door right now, and the back door. And nobody's going to be able to get out of here today until you can quote me at least 100 verses. Somebody said, we're going to be here a long time. Well, now, why do we not get our prayer answered from God if that's what that John 15:7 says? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, how many words do you think God expects of his to abide in you? That's it, John. All of them. That's what he expects, isn't it? All of them. Somebody will say, no way, surely not. And then I think about Kathy's little girl, one of the little lovely ladies that works with us here. She has a little girl by the name of Caitlin that's 13 years old. Well, okay, 12, fixing to be 13. But she's 12 years old, and she goes to Christian school, to a church school. She doesn't go to secular school at all. And last year, the requirements were, in the course of the year, for them to learn and memorize 250 verses. She memorized 350. A 12-year-old girl. Don't that make you feel bad? That some of us, if everybody in this room together today, we might not be able to quote 350 verses. And one little 12-year-old girl that's been in a Christian school memorized 100 verses. When I found out that she'd memorized 100 verses above what she was required, I gave her a $100 bill. I said, you deserve it, honey. You deserve it. Yeah. Now then, what do you think if she keeps memorizing verses like that every year? By the time she gets 18, she's going to be dangerous, isn't she? I mean, how many verses might that little child have in her heart time she's 18 or 20? That's right. And so, according to the Word of God, what is she going to be able to do if she abides in him and keeps herself clean and pure? She's going to be able to ask for anything, and what's the king going to do for her? Anything her heart's desire. See? Now, do you think she's going to have to walk in sickness and disease? Not as long as she keeps up that. Not as long as she walks in obedience to his word. Long as she believes what she's learning. And she walks in faith to believe that God's word is true and it means what it says. Guarantee that little girl can walk through her entire life with no sickness and disease. You know, it's amazing that we do not ever understand the curses that come upon us and how to break those curses by faith. You know, as I've said many times, there's not a single human being on this earth, not one of us, that wasn't born under a curse, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If you happen to be raised up in the most wonderful, awesome Christian home that both people had not sinned in many years, had been redeemed by the blood, and they walk in totally holy, if you could find one of those homes, I don't know if one of those exists or not, but if you could find one of those that was walking totally clear and clean and pure and holy, and then you were born into that family, probably by the time you were 10 or 15 years old, you would be under so many curses that the devil would have no problem put something on you. You know that? How many people do you know that's 15, even though they were raised in a great Christian home, maybe even had a pastor and a pastor's wife for mother and dad, but by the time they're 15, how many of them have sinned? All of them. Most of them, many times. So you see, the only way to keep that from happening is when they get to be 5 or 6 or 7 years old, you know, to let them start memorizing the Word of God. Now, I started reading the Word of God to mine when they were born, because God told me. That's the first time he ever spoke to me audibly in my life. He told me to do that, to do exactly what Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 and on says, and that was to teach my children about him and live that kind of life before them. But did my children still believe and sin? Yeah. I mean, did my son have problem with the miracles that I walked in? Yeah, he really did. And sometimes he still has a problem with some of them. But he is getting better. But he's in his 30s now. You know. So he's beginning to see and understand. But, you know, people have a problem with the miracles of God. Do you know that? The church has a problem with miracles, and it should not be. Well, why do we have a problem with miracles? The problem's in the lack of studying the Word of God, and that's what's wrong. Well, today, let's see. Let's talk about some of these things. Let's go to 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. We're going to do everything in the NLT today. We're going to read in the NLT. King James says the same thing, but I've read it in both, and the NLT seem to be so simple. It's so difficult to make a mistake or miss these things. But in 1 Timothy chapter 4, Father, in the name of Jesus, as we read and study your word, may you open our hearts to your word. May you touch us by the Holy Spirit, because I know that no scripture is given, you know, except that it was inspired by the Lord, and he gave it. And it, Lord, I know that man penned it down, but I know that nobody understands this word unless you give us the revelation. So I ask you to give us revelation and wisdom and knowledge and understanding as we read your word, so we will do what it says, and we will hide it in our heart. I rebuke the enemy and command him to get out of this place and not steal a single word out of anybody's heart that we put in today in the name of Jesus. So, Lord, I thank you for your word. Bless it as it goes forth in Jesus' name. Amen. Now then, we're going to go to 1 Timothy 4, and I want to read some scripture to you here. Now, the Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last time, some will turn away from what we believe. How many of you believe we are living in the last times? Boy, I'm telling you, we are living in the last times. They will follow lying spirits and teachings that come from demons. Then he says, these teachers are hypocrites and liars. They pretend to be religious, but their consciences are dead. I remember a few years ago that a lady and a man here in the Metroplex knew a Christian woman. She had written some books, and she was one of the ministers at a big Baptist church in Tennessee. And they wanted to know, if they bought me an airline ticket, would I fly over there to that city? Of course, I could only get about 3 hours away by driving. I didn't have my own airplane in those days. They wanted to know if they bought me a ticket if I'd go over there. So I did, to pray for this woman. I went over there, and when I drove to where she lived, I went into her little house where she was living, and I took another man with me from that church to go over to show me where she lived. We went into the house, and there she is laying there with terminal cancer, a young woman. She's probably in her 35, 40 years old. I said, you know, why didn't you do what James 5, 14 and 15 says when you came down with a sickness? She said, Thurman,
we are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety titled, Spiritual Fitness is Much More Important, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.